Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. We're here till 3 o'clock. I got to admit, Brown, I'm a little bit of a mess today. Jay's nodding his head. Internet problems again in my house. From the Horizon Company. So I'm bitter. I'm so bitter.
You just want things to work so you can do your job.
And it won't. Like, from what I'm gathering, for whatever price I pay a month, I got a toy router and a make-believe. I got a toy modem and a make-believe router, and I have to stand so close. I may as well just plug into the stinking thing instead of this Wi-Fi thing that I hear so much. It sounds nice. The Wi-Fi sounds nice. Yeah. I'm gonna try it sometime if I can get somebody to put it in my house.
Maybe just get a long Ethernet cord.
A long one, like almost 15 feet would be enough. And
get a 15-footer.
And I'd be good enough, and that would be almost as good as Wi-Fi. As long as I could move around at the length of that 15-foot Ethernet cord, I could have Internet. They should make it so it would do it like without the wire attached.
It's like the old days with the house phone. You remember the old days where you'd have the 25-foot cord dangling down to the floor of the kitchen?
You could get into your bedroom, but you'd have to stand right by the door with the door slammed shut so you'd have private conversation.
To my girlfriend, get up in the stairwell here with this.
Brownie,
how far does this cord
right now,
go?
I am standing. It is like that. I am standing in my bedroom having a private conversation with all of Western New York. Due to my technological difficulties. Yeah, so there you go.
I remember it vividly. Our house phone was in our kitchen, and I did not live in a big house. It was only 1,600 square feet. But
this is the 1970s, right? 70s and 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. And I tested the length of that cord, man.
I'm still living there, Brownie. I'm still there.
It was rotary
in the 70s and 80s, right? Oh, yeah. Did you see the videos now? You get kids now that are less than, 20 years old. They don't even know how to dial a phone.
That's what there's a funny video going around on YouTube where the dad drops this rotary phone in front of his two sons who are like 16 and 18. And he says, hey, I want you to see if you can make a phone call here. So it took him about 10 minutes, but I think they eventually figured out how to do it.
Unbelievable. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3. We got tons going on. We've got a pretty good show. Field Yates is coming on. Also, Ben Standig's coming on. Field Yates, of course, ESPN NFL writer. He's a co-host of ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football podcast. And Ben Standig is a staff writer for The Athletic covering Washington sports. So the Washington Redskins are changing the name, finally. And we don't ever have to use the racial epithet to say. I always try to remember to just say Washington instead of using the term that their nickname. So I'm never gonna have to do that again. And I just did use the racial slur in describing them, but they're changing from it.
We're all adjusting much the way we had to adjust from, well, in a different way, but San Diego Chargers to LA Chargers, and we all had to.
But this is better though.
Off.
This is a lot better. And although, I apologize to all our friends that are listening that are offended by the term that is used to describe the Washington football team. I'll try not to use it ever again, but I just did. So the Washington football team's changing their name from what it was to something else, and it's going to be kind of cool.
I'm a little I have to say, Steve, there are pluses and minuses to social media. And I was experiencing one of the minuses right before the show, which prompted me to respond on Twitter.
What do you mean, Chris?
Well, there's some guy that replied directly to the Washington team account with his suggestion for a name, a new name for the team, which is the Washington Franklins. And he is trying to tie it to Benjamin Franklin, which, really? Okay, if that's what you want to do, fine. But the name kind of struck me as odd. So I clicked on his tweet, and he says, "The Washington Franklins, in honor of our greatest president, Ben Franklin, who invented electricity."
Ooh, wow. I thought it was bad at the beginning. It gets worse. It's a short tweet.
Heavy double down at the blackjack table.
It's a short tweet to be so wrong.
Right. So this kind of stuff, I can't let it slide, Steve.
Come on, Brownie.
I am not an educator by trade. By no means am I a history expert, but my goodness, greatest president and inventor of electricity.
What number president was he? So we're at 45 now. What number president was Ben Franklin? I can't.
This guy may guess he was the 100th president since he's on the $100 bill. So I felt compelled to respond, and I didn't want to snark him too much here, but we got to be better.
That's like invented water, is it? No, he invented electricity.
So I just responded. I said, bro, come on. Greatest president, ? And then I said, and for the record, no one invented electricity. Investigated? Right. Yes. Discovered? Perhaps.
Maybe.
And then I left him with a link to a biography.com page for Benjamin Franklin, so he could enlighten himself and realize that Benjamin Franklin was never a president. He was a lot of things, but he was not a president. He was an ambassador, an inventor, a politician, a scholar.
Yeah, he was I put him in the founding father category,
scientist,
right?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And probably one of the best. You want to say, hey, one of our greatest founding fathers.
Maybe one of the more famous guys who was never president from that era, beginning of the country.
Probably Alexander Hamilton, a bunch of those guys that, you know, were not presidents, but did a heck of a job in fortifying and building the government system on which we...
And he did get struck by lightning.
Which we now live. Well, yeah. Was he actually... I don't know that. Was he actually struck? Mm-hmm. I guess he was, because he had a key. String and
he got struck, and it was no fun. It wasn't like the key was the thing that kept him from harm. Yeah, I heard it was not pretty, but maybe I don't know. Who knows? After that happens, you kind of like go, I tried this experiment. It didn't go. You don't really let it out. Like, yeah, I got myself struck by lightning. That's kind of something you kind of sweep under the rug. Although you know, if you want credit for finger quotes discovering,
no cell phone video of that one.
Or finger quotes inventing.
Inventing. Right.
Right. We're in the same spot we were yesterday, Brownie, a little bit. A lot of stuff going on. The Eagles they found out that in Philadelphia that they're canceling all large gatherings, but they're exempting the Eagles. So the Eagles can actually get together in Pennsylvania, which I would imagine extends all the way to Pittsburgh, right? Or is that just a civic thing? That they weren't letting large gatherings in Philly.
Yeah, I think as a municipality, the city of Philadelphia made that determination.
All right.
So with that's exceptions going. Already, apparently.
Right. So that's going on. The NFL and the NFLPA talks proceed. They're going as expected without much progress. So they expected – that's the headline. Going as expected with not much progress. So that's what they expected? Yeah. They're having these talks without expecting to go progress, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is a concern, Steve, and I know we talked a good deal about the things that had to be hashed out and were still on the table between the NFL and the union on how training camp and the preseason and the regular season is going to look amidst the COVID pandemic. And the issues that I think are most prominent are – not the fact that they will have testing, but the frequency of the testing and how it's going to be conducted. preseason games. Is it going to be two? Is it going to be zero? The protocol for player opt-outs, will they be allowed to do so? What are the ramifications if they choose to do so? Procedures for an outbreak.
Right.
You know, are you shutting everything down? Does only one team have to postpone their game that given week if they have an outbreak in their facility? And then the almighty dollar and the economics.
Right.
Are they keeping the cap the same come 2021 at $198.2 million? Are they going to spread out the losses from 2022 to 2030? That's what the union wants. But the owners are saying, yeah, yeah, you can spread out the losses all you want from 2022 to 2030, but I'm feeling them in 2021 and right now. So right. So that those are all the issues that have yet to be ironed out, and I don't think it's any secret that the league and the union are running out of time. And so you say, well, what happens if there isn't an agreement on these pretty important issues in terms of how right. things are going to look in a couple of weeks? And the answer is, the league technically has the ability to enact and put into place whatever protocols, procedures, and practices they choose. And if the union is dead set against any of them, well, then you're filing a grievance. And then it gets tied up in the legal system. And right. we go from there, I guess. But
right. And that's the thing. I mean, that the league, the players don't really have much of a leg to stand on because the owners can do whatever they want. Now, the players can opt out. That's been said pretty clearly. But there's a number of things we don't know. The dollars are some of them. The testing, how often that happens is going to happen. The issues and how they're going to get started, this thing ramped up. All that's still in the offing. Who knows how that's going to work. And, you know, there's – so they just don't know, and they're still talking about all the right. details, and there's only about 6 million details they got to worry about at. And also, even down to – like, for instance, how public are they going to make the testing results?
Yeah.
Like, are they going to say who got tested?
Yeah, you have to worry about HIPAA right. laws and stuff like
right.
that.
And then, of course, then it becomes proprietary information, which means gambling's going to want a piece of that. You know, they're going to want to know who's in and who's out. If Tom Brady's not playing for Tampa Bay and you're going to put Charlie Sixpack in at quarterback, that changes things. You know, that throws an industry into turmoil. But the league can't really, you know, they're worried about just getting the game on.
Well, right. And the other thing about testing, Steve, too, at least from the national reporters that cover the league, have mentioned that is at issue on the owner's side and the club side is they know that the union wants players tested every day, but we're talking upwards of, 2,200 players? I think that's the round-off number.
With the big roster, camp rosters, it's got to be above $2,000, yeah.
So you've got daily testing at 32 different facilities in 22 states and 30 different cities.
If you go as many as 5 days a week, that's about 10,000
right.
tests a week.
So the concern
league.
That the owners have, at least from what's being reported, is what kind of strain is that going to put on the medical and hospital system at large, knowing that the only way to make those tests as effective as possible is to provide the results within hours.
Right.
So you know how to proceed based on a positive or negative test. But there is a concern that in some of these strained and capacity-filled cities with, you know, capacity-filled hospitals and limited resources,
right.
that's going to look like preferential treatment for NFL players trying to play a sport that is not an essential service, let's be honest. And I think there is a concern on how that is publicly perceived and publicly received if they test every day, knowing the numbers involved will be in the tens of thousands per week, hundreds of thousands by the end,
right.
you know, with all the teams being tested with every player, every coach. I mean, it's probably over 3,000, yeah, it's probably over 3,000 when you think about it, but that is right. that is a concern on the part of the owners. I don't know how you can conduct business and play football the way you want without doing that testing. But the negative public perception could be pretty damning if, you know, all these players are getting tested every day just so they can play football, and we still don't have a national system that gives people the ability to get tested whenever they want, let alone get the results.
Here's the thing. The NFL can independent contract with a clinic. They can hire their own people to do the tests. You know, that's what they – and that may be pricey, but they could have their own place, or each team could contract with a specific group of health professionals in their own city, even ones that are out of work who are qualified, say, listen, run these tests for us every week. Well, that's what we got to do. We'll pay you this, that, and the other, but we got to have these test results now. They can independent contractor and pay an outside and then go with those results. So they could do it, but, you know, you're talking – we're talking overhead on top of overhead without revenues to offset it, right? So they'd be digging themselves a financial hole even deeper. But it may be worth it just to, you know, get that product on TV every Sunday afternoon, Thursday night.
Yeah,
you know,
and they do have that third party firm that they already mentioned.
Yeah, IQVIA.
Right, which is going to help with the tracing. Right, they're going to help with the contact tracing.
Yeah, and all
so
the
maybe
and all
they
the...
happen just like you said.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've got a lot to talk about with this, and it's going to be really interesting to see it once it gets off the ground. But right now, we're still in limbo, and the league and the players are all talking about, you know, what it's going to look like, because, you know, really nobody knows. All of this is going on. We've got players chiming in. Devin and Jason McCourty have chimed in. They want, you know, they're putting pressure on the league to get some things done.
They want answers.
They want answers. Just let us look. They're trying to to eliminate two preseason games. You're going to have meetings in the building. And what is that going to look like? Are they going to be done in person or still done virtually? None of this stuff has been ironed out. And here's the thing too that's amazing, Brownie. You talk about this, and I get it. The NFL is this big 800-pound gorilla. But the thing that we always forget, because we see Roger Goodell and we see, you know, Troy Vincent, these vice presidents, we see Al Riveron and these guys that are in officiating football operations and the commissioner himself. And you tend to think of the NFL as this big gargantuan gorilla. And in the sports landscape, it is. But what it really is a gang of 32 gorillas. And each of these franchises have their own, you know, way of operating, their own unique system of doing things. They're all a little bit different, and those differences may sound subtle to all of us on the outside, but they're vastly different inside their buildings. So when Roger Goodell says, let's do this, this, and this, there may be three or a handful of teams that say, we can't do that, you know, or we've been doing that forever, you know, we're doing something else, you know, that kind of thing. And so it really gets cumbersome. Quickly.
Well, yeah, and that's why we have the situation in this country that we do, because we have a 50-state free-for-all with no national policy on it either. So the league's trying to establish their own policy, and they're having trouble with it too, at least in terms of coming to an agreement with the union.
And it becomes obvious when the environment is so different. Like, California ain't New York, and Texas is not North Dakota. So I get the problems in a blanket statement like that, but man, oh man, you got to have a baseline somewhere.
Right. And I think the other thing, and the McCourty twins, I think, explain this pretty comprehensively in their write-up as the guest columnists for Peter King's Football Morning in America column, was that, look, the reason we want to know how it's going to look is so we can make an educated decision as to whether we're going to incur the risk. Because the bottom line is the players – and to an obvious extent, the coaches are the ones incurring all the risk here with respect to contracting the virus. Players chiefly, secondarily coaches.
Sure.
Just by being in close proximity to the players. So, yeah, they want to know, hey, what's this going to look like? So I can say, okay, here is going to be my exposure risk in this situation at practice. This is going to be my exposure risk in this situation, and these are the procedures that are going to be done if one of my teammates should contract the virus. Does that make me feel safe? this, that, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I think they want the roadmap so they can make an educated decision and just say, you know what? I see everything that you've put in place here. I respect it, but I'm going to exercise my right to opt out here. I'm skipping this year. I'll see you in 2021. And these players don't even feel they can do that absent a concrete plan.
Right. And I know this too. The vast majority of these guys are going to opt in. They're not going to opt out. But they still deserve to know what's going to happen. They still deserve to have the information in front of them before they say, okay, let's go. They've already gotten two preseason games clipped out. The game day protocols, the extra spots on the rosters and the practice squads, they do need to put it in writing all the way down, and the league needs to say, hey, here it is. But until that happens, the players don't know what they're opting in or out of. And it sounds like they've got a long way to go for that. They've got a long way to go. And I think the only leverage the players have is withholding their services.
Right.
You know? The owners, on the other hand, have a ton of leverage, in my opinion. I haven't gone into the nitty-gritties, but think about this, Brownie. If the owners say, listen, we're going to do this. We're going to play these games. Here's the protocols. We're going to do the best we can. That's it. And the players go, that's not good enough. We're going to opt out. And the owners can say, that's fine. Do that. But here's the thing. Whatever happens, the salary cap is going to be what it's going to be next year. And you got to live with it come down the line. So if you want to make sure this doesn't go belly up real quick and
at the very least backwards.
Backwards. It could go down. It could go to the point where it's, you know, minus $50 million bucks and minus $65 million bucks on the salary cap. It goes back to where it was when I was playing. And because of all of that, the players are going, well, wait a minute. They're all going to be out of work. They got to be cut. They got to be released. And they're going to take massive pay cuts. Now, they can be free agents, but the free agent money is going to be half of what they're making already. Because there's just no money to go around. And the coach and the players and the coach and all their contracts, they're all going belly up. They're going to have major issues going down the line, and it's going to fall on the players and the ownership. It may be a two-year process before the owners get back their heads back above water. The players have got to live with it. So if they don't want to live with that in 2 years' time or 3 years' time, they better opt in and make this work.
Yeah.
That's where the leverage of the owners is.
Right. Because the long-term financial security of the league, at least in terms of being profitable and ever increasing.
At least 2 years
that's
out.
That's at stake.
That's not going away. I don't think the NFL is going to go belly up and never come back. And I don't think it's going to be unprofitable for more than 1-2 years maybe?
Right.
So then so if you're the player, that's a big chunk of your career.
Right.
So you better jump in and get what you can get.
If you're a player that only has a 5-year career, losing a year, that's kind of big. That's 20% of your career.
That's right.
20% of your earning power, you know, at an elite level.
And an elite level is 20%. And that's 20% off of what could be like a $20 million career. You're talking $4 million bucks that's out of your pocket. Just talking about what we're talking about, right? And that's significant. Life-changing. Right. I mean,
it would be for me.
You got it. That's the thing with the NFL that makes it different. You got to play. You got to be on the field. You got to be on a team. And if this salary cap takes a huge dip because the players don't want to opt in, man, it's your money, guys. You're just never going to come back. Amazing. We'll see. So we got all that to talk about, and we will continue. And like I said, we've got a great guest lineup today with Field Yates coming on, who's the fan. How crazy do fantasy guys have to be going right now? Can you imagine having a guy on your team and all of a sudden he's got the virus? Oh my gosh!
You know, for a fantasy footballer.
For a fantasy guy, right? Forget about fans just wanting to win games. These guys are, you know, I mean, those, and to set your lineup and do all that, it's already more than a cottage industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, just the fantasy thing. And now you don't even know. You got like 12 hours before you know if your guy's going to play or not. Wow.
Well, at least you can turn to someone on your bench a little bit easier than NFL. than NFL clubs will be able to. You just plug in the guy on your roster who's not infected,
point,
I guess.
It's point to click,
this is very, this is a little calloused, you know, in describing that, but
also, yeah, and also coming on
insensitive, but still.
So that's Field Yates. So also Ben Standy's coming on. He's got a long read. Now, if you got a little time today in the pandemic and you got some time, go on and go on theathletic.com, and it's about the Washington team name changing. It's pretty outstanding. So we'll have Ben on. He can talk about that from The Athletic. He covers the Washington team. So it's Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here till 3 o'clock. What do you want to start with? We got all this stuff. We've been going into this, the player, the NFL union, and the NFL and the players union going back and forth. And I can't get over that the headline of the article I look at says, hey, it's going just as they expected it to. There's no progress.
Yeah. And that's why, I don't know about you, Steve, but I firmly believe, and I know there's a history of a lot of this stuff getting ironed out in the 11th hour, but nobody's blinking right now. And I wonder if the league is going to have to get to a point. See, I think the whole reason that the league, so close to the start of training camp, still has not said, screw it, this is what we're doing, is because they want the players to be buying in. And if they unilaterally make these decisions, I think they know they're going to get blowback from the union, and they're trying to avoid that. But eventually, you're going to have to get your procedures in place so you can function as a league.
Right.
And I just wonder when that breaking point is, because we're getting close to it, aren't we? We have to be.
They're getting close. And I think here's the thing, what I believe, Brownie. I think the league knows how this is going to go down. They know what's going to have to happen. And they're selling it to the players little by little until they got to give them the whole thing and say, listen, this is it, guys. This is how it's going to be. We've run the numbers. We've run the logistics. We've got the things laid out. This, and we've talked to health experts. We've talked to football people. This is how we think it's going to be. And the players are, you know, trying to get what they can get. It's like, how about if we do this and this and this? And the owners are saying, we can fit this in but not this, or this but not this. You know, I think the owners know ultimately what the baseline's going to be, and they know their margin of error. And the players have to find out what their margin of error is and work within that. And that's what's going to happen. But this thing's going to grind to – this thing's going to hit the gas pretty quick, and the players are going to have to jump on board. Or they can sit out, and that's just the way it is.
I know we've seen 11th hour – I guess what I was saying was I know we've seen 11th hour deals between the union and the league before, but – I think this is so complex. I kind of foresee that the league's just going to have to start enacting procedures, policies, protocols.
Right.
And that's how it's just going to have to go. They're just going to have to unilaterally lay it all out there, and that'll be that.
That's right. Now, hey, guys, the calendar's moving. We got to jump on board. Okay, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Field Yates from ESPN NFL Insider and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. He'll be joining us at the top of the hour. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, and One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock. We're talking about all the stuff that's going on around the National Football League. We're a lot, I mean, for being in the offseason and not having training camps going on, and there is so much uncertainty about what we may see and what we may not see here in the coming weeks. Certainly, the players and the owners have got a lot to work out. We saw this happen. And Brownie, you and I were both kind of rolling our eyes. I don't know why we shouldn't have, because we should have known better. But we were rolling our eyes at baseball, trying to get it together, and all the back and forth between the players' union and the owners. We should have figured there'd be at least some of that in the NFL as well.
Right. I just don't know. As you said, in the NFL, players got to play, especially to keep their jobs. I know there's a lot more guarantees and contracts than there used to be in the NFL now, so that maybe has lessened the advantage on the part of the owners, but certainly not to the extent that it exists in other leagues with fully guaranteed contracts like the NHL and the NBA.
Right. And we'll see. They got a long way to go. We'll be keeping track of it and keeping everybody informed as well. One of the things we did today that I didn't get to in the first segment was our Twitter question of the day. Which Bills player, and this is pretty straightforward. I'm surprised we haven't done this before, but we haven't, I don't think. Which Bills player is going to make their first Pro Bowl in 2020? Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, Jordan Poyer, or somebody else? You can call us at 803-0550 or tweet at us at @OneBillsLive. You can also give us a call if you're outside the Buffalo area at 888-550-2550. Which Buffalo Bill is going to make their first Pro Bowl in 2020? Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, Jordan Poyer, or somebody else? Jay has sent us a tweet sheet, which I have no way of getting into my email right now because of my Horizon problems. Oh, there it is. All right, here we go. Brownie, I'm going to give, just as a salute to the internet that doesn't work in my house, I'm going to give you the first tweet sheet.
Okay, so this one from Jack A.
Right.
Drinking the Kool-Aid and thinking with my heart, but I really believe Josh Allen took strides last season and will take a huge step this year and show he's one of the young elite QBs in this league. I predict his hard work pays off, his numbers improve, and he gets the Bills a playoff victory. So he's obviously going with Josh for his first Pro Bowl.
Think about how different life would look these days if the Bills win in overtime in Houston.
Oh,
you know, that was a great game.
Where are they going? They were going to go to Baltimore the next week then, though, right?
Yeah, they would have had to take on. But they, you know, they played Baltimore pretty salty the first time they played them. They held them to less points than anybody else, right?
Yeah, even the fewest yards as well.
Right. So, you know, it would have been fun. But you're right. A playoff win would be great. And Josh Allen, listen, Brownie, if Josh does not take a big step forward this year, I mean, then we've got question marks. We got everything we need. What are we going to do? Then you might say, you know, okay, what's his next contract going to look like? And all of that, all of the stuff that gets. I still think that he's the guy for the future here, but he needs to get better. And I think he will, given the fact that that's what this coaching staff has been able to do with all these players over the course of their time here. They get these guys to play better every week. And that's been the hallmark of Sean McDermott and his staff here in Buffalo. So we'll see. If Josh Allen does get better, the Buffalo Bills get exponentially better.
I was trying to weigh the odds of Pro Bowl likelihood for the guys that are listed in the poll, which is Allen, Diggs, and Poyer. And from a quarterback perspective, it's pretty tough. Because what do they take? 3 per conference?
Right.
So it's, you know, Brady's not in the AFC anymore. That helps. So, but you think about the best AFC quarterbacks, like if Roethlisberger comes back and has a resurgent year, he's probably going. you know, so you can run down the list and you can run out of options pretty quickly. And I think that's what happened to Diggs, because people are like, whoa, wait a second. Diggs hasn't made it to a Pro Bowl. And that's what we listed in our Camp Countdown series on BuffaloBills.com. Today's Camp Countdown story was, will Stephon Diggs make it to the Pro Bowl? Because even though he's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, even though he's tied for the fifth most touchdowns in the entire league over the last 3 years, he has not been to the Pro Bowl in his five-year career.
Right.
I mentioned that to my son, who's a big NFL fan. He's like, what? He hasn't made it to the Pro Bowl? And I said, well, you got to think about this. In the NFC, you're only taking three receivers, and two are locked up right away. Michael Thomas and Julio Jones go perennially. And so now who's taking the third spot there? You know, it's Amari Cooper. You know, you can run out of room real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not that part of the reason why.
It's a small roster. They don't go. It's not like everybody who had a good year gets to go. And a lot of times, and I was a benefit. I was both the beneficiary of this and also the victim of this, where a guy who has gone before kind of tends to get some votes because people recognize his name and perhaps didn't have the better season. I benefited from that late in my career, and I also was a victim of that early in my career when I was actually a better player and didn't get to go to the Pro Bowl. So it happens. And, you know, when you get to this Pro Bowl balloting, the fans get a vote, and so, you know, you get these, you know, market size matters. Green Bay guys are up against
it. Popularity contest.
It's a popularity contest, and there's more people who are fans of this team than that team. And it makes a difference, although it only counts as one vote. There's three votes, you know. So all of that stuff, when you get to this Pro Bowl stuff, it does come down to, and I think one thing that will be crucial to this, Brownie, and not for nothing, say everything goes off without a hitch, the schedule, the games, you know, and the Bills play like we expect them to, and they're going to win, say, 11 or 12 games. And at the end of the season, they go on a run and go 3-1 in that stretch on primetime games. When Josh Allen goes on Sunday Night Football, two Sunday Night Footballs, a Monday Night Football, and a Thursday Night Football, that gets votes when he plays well in those games, whether he stinks the rest of the year or not.
Correct.
You know, that's just the way it is.
I remember talking to Aaron Schobel, who went to two Pro Bowls in his career with the Bills. And I'm not going to remember the exact game and time and what prime time it was. But down the stretch in December, in the 2 weeks leading up to Pro Bowl voting by players and coaches, he had four sacks in two games. And I think one of those games was against the Patriots on national television. And in talking to him about, you know, going to his first Pro Bowl, he said, I kind of timed it out right there down the stretch. So even he knew that he got some votes. Yeah. You know, he produced at the exact time when it was most beneficial to get enough votes to get to his first Pro Bowl, even though he was in a small market on a team that wasn't all that successful.
It's interesting, too, because I remember some of those plays, and I don't know if it's the right year. It's the year when it was the Leotis McKelvin New England game when Schobel goes in, sack strips Brady, and runs right into the end zone on national TV on a Monday night game in Foxborough. Yeah. Pretty big play. That kind of stuff tends to resonate. You remember the Khalil Mack play, his first game as a Bear, when he comes in and takes, you know, Chicago
took
Bears
over the straight,
took over the game. That kind of tends to stick with people. Haven't seen much from him since, although he hasn't played badly. He hasn't dominated like that in games. And so those kind of things stick in people's memory. And that's, you know, when you come down to it in these games and this Twitter poll, Twitter question we've got, you know, if Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs or Jordan Poyer or some of these guys plays well in those four primetime games in the last month and a half of the season, that goes a long, long way. It goes a long, long way.
Yeah. If Diggs is going to the Pro Bowl because he's tearing it up in terms of production as the number
Josh
one receiver,
is too.
Then you got to believe that Josh is going to at least be in the conversation, right?
That's a good point. That is a really good point. Some of these guys play well because of each other, and if they both are, then there you go. I mean, Jordan Poyer, if he, you know, It's about picks and same thing. You know, it's about interceptions, right? I mean, that's what those DB. I mean, particularly right. safeties, right? You can't. You know, people will say
defensive ends.
Yeah, particularly safeties, because it's not like Tre'Davious White, where they can say, you know, quarterbacks have completed like 6% of the passes they've thrown at him. You know, well, Jordan Poyer, they don't get. You know, he doesn't get thrown at. He's a safety, so he's in the run, he's in the pass, and he's over. He's an umbrella guy. He's helping guys. He's not like assigned one on one. But if he picks off, you know, all these passes, that's it. That's the number. You know, or if he bats passes, or if he, you know, gets a sack from a safety position or whatever, those are the things that get it. And you kind of got to flash. You got to flash. It's hard to get there as a safety because it's such a position where on one team this guy's really good, but on another team he wouldn't be that good. You know, you got to know what are they being asked to do, and it's different on each team and each defensive philosophy.
Yeah, but Poyer has been extraordinarily productive the last few years. I think he's tied for the lead among safeties over the last three seasons with 11 interceptions. He's had, you know, more than a handful of forced fumbles and fumble recoveries over that three-year span with the Bills. And I think he's hurt somewhat by the fact that there is a pretty strong opinion out there that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are at their best as a combination, as a tandem, and not on their own individual merit. And I don't think that's a fair assessment of either of those players, quite frankly. This contention that they're better as a duo than they would be by themselves. I don't know how you effectively make that assessment, because we really haven't seen either of those players in their current roles in a different situation. I mean, this was the place where both of those guys essentially got a full-time starting opportunity, and holy crap, they've made the most of it. Hyde did go to a Pro Bowl. Poyer's still waiting. And I don't know, I find myself scratching my head on that one, only because Poyer has been so enormously productive and done so many of the things and checked so many of the boxes that are required of a safety to get that kind of recognition, and yet it still hasn't happened. Even with a team that's now won 10 games and gone to the playoffs, it's perplexing to me.
Yeah, it is. And I get it too. Poyer kind of, he'd been in the league for a while, and he exploded onto the scene when he came to Buffalo. And the kind of the same with Micah Hyde, although he's on the, you know, the Packers, but man, oh man, that position is tough to quantify unless you make big splashy plays, right? And yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a ton of guys make the Pro Bowl. I know when your team gets good, you get looked at a lot more. That's the way it happened with us. There was a year back in the early 90s when my guys and I, we had like 11 guys out there at the Pro Bowl. I mean, it looked like a team photo on picture day. And it was a lot of fun, but it was when your team plays well. And I think a lot of these Pro Bowl nods are going to go when they're going to look at the Buffalo Bills win-loss column and go from there.
They may have a bigger number of guys this year for sure, just if they can have the kind of success that everybody's anticipating.
All right, before we go to a break, I want you to gear up for episode one of Captain Circle, presented by Labatt Blue Light. The first of three episodes are going to feature Jack Eichel and Josh Allen. There's going to be three episodes, and the first one is with Jack and Josh. They're going to be available to watch on the Sabres and Bills YouTube channels, Facebook pages. It's July 19th at 7 p.m. Make sure you tune in so you guys can. Cheers to the captain, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Coming up at the top of the hour, Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to One Bears Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown in today. We're here all week, and we're here till 3 o'clock today. Coming up at the top of the hour, Field Yates. This just came in. For those of you out there, Bills fans who keep track of guys who used to play for the Bills, this just came out today. As you probably remember, back in the day, they drafted, they signed a rookie free agent named Jason Peters, who was a tight end. The guy was like 300 pounds and was running 4.5 40s. An unbelievable athlete, but they knew he's going to be an offensive lineman. They switched him to left tackle. He became good, wanted to get the big money, left Buffalo, went to Philadelphia, and has had a Hall of Fame career. They just re-signed him again to a one-year deal to play guard now instead of left tackle. So
he's 39.
Yeah, and he will probably play at an all-pro level at that position.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature, has had some bad injuries here later in his career. I think one of them was an Achilles. But the whole reason that he became attractive to them again, because, you know, they have drafted offensive tackles, you know, in recent years to in anticipation of him kind of retiring and heading off into the sunset now in his late 30s. And so they've done that the last couple of years, the Eagles have, by way of the draft. But they just a couple of weeks ago lost Brandon Brooks, their guard, to an Achilles injury. So he's not going to be able to play at all this year. So they said, hey, what about Jason Peters as a guard? So looks like that's what's going to happen, and he's, for all intents and purposes, going to be the right guard for the Eagles this year in place of Brandon Brooks.
Yeah, and good for him. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal athlete. He really he was pretty amazing. I remember as a rookie, he came in as a tight end, and they left him at tight end for about 3 days. But they had a little scrimmage. It was a little longer than 3 days, but they had a scrimmage where he was playing tight end. Imagine literally a 300 and whatever pound guy outrunning guys down the seam, catching balls as a tight end. Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah, he ran 4.85 at the combine.
Right.
So that was just stupid. I mean, and we're talking 2006 or 7, I think it was his draft class. And he went undrafted because he had a college career at Arkansas where they could not find a position for him. He played defensive line, offensive line, tight end, and a couple other places. And he just never felt like he ever had a home position-wise.
Yeah.
And it was pretty interesting how funny it was with the way the Bills tried to hide him all through the course of training camp, because, you know, the media and the reporters that had seen him every day recognized him as a physical freak. But even the coaches were coached up on how to address questions on Jason Peters, because I remember interviewing the tight ends coach, whose name's going to slip my mind now, at the time. And I said, you know, what do you think the outlook is for Jason Peters being on the roster, this, that, and the other? And he's like, well, you know, he's got to get the plays down and stuff. And they were portraying him as a guy that was not quick on the uptake, almost to scare other teams off. And they hit him on the practice squad before bringing him up to the active roster around midseason.
Right. So congratulations to Jason Peters. He's come a long way in his career, and he's probably headed to the Hall of Fame, and signs a one-year deal with Philadelphia, the team he's been playing with for the last decade plus. And congratulations to him. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here. Field Yates coming up after the break. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.